You're listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. I am your host, Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes. In this show, I'm sitting down with creators from all walks of life to talk about inspiration, process, the lessons they've learned, and a whole lot more.
It's your boy, Al Mega. Welcome to a brand new Comic Crusaders Podcast. And today, whoo, we got a legend on the scene, baby. He's an anchor, he's a comic book writer, and he's about to be stepping into one of my favorite universes. That's right, with Image Comics and the Spawn Universe, with our boy, Jeremy. That's how you know Jeremy? Gunslinger Spawn, all right, I bet. Maybe you know him that way. Let me introduce the man that's bringing some of that West back to my boy Gunslinger Spawn. The one, the only, the legend, Jimmy Palmiotti.
How you doing, Al? How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Just, I was trying to clean up the mess behind me because, you know, comic book people, we don't have enough shelves. That's all there is to it. I got comic books everywhere.
Have you seen my, it is the, it looks organized. If you see the left side of my body, you will.
I'll do this. This is like one wall of madness, and it's just so much stuff everywhere. It's, you know, but that's what we do. We collect crap. We collect a lot of stuff, and we love it. And that's all there is to it. So
yeah. You better understand. You better get it, people. And with that, so Jimmy, yo, thanks again for hanging out. You know, you've been doing so much stuff, man. You've been keeping busy. For sure, through the paper films, and of course, they just announced that you're just stepping into the Spawn U, telling us some nice good old Western stories about our favorite new introduction of a gunslinger.
Yeah, I was at New York Con like 2 years ago, and I had the editor Thomas Healy come up and start a conversation at my table, and he says, "Oh, I love Jonah Hex. What you did with Jonah Hex, and would you have any interest in working in the Spawn universe?" And I was like, "Oh my God, yeah, man." I said, that would be amazing. And Thomas set up a call with Todd. And I'd known Todd for a long time. I mean, I've known him over the years. We've both been in comics way too long. And so it was funny because, he said, would you be able to do like an ongoing series? Like, it'd stay on it for a while. And I reminded him, I said, I did over 100 issues of Jonah Hex. So I could stay on something for a while. And then we talked about Gunslinger, and, they approached me. They said, we want to tell the story of how he became the Gunslinger and set in the 1800s, in the past, And Todd said, there's so many stories to tell before it ever got to where I'm doing it, because now he has, obviously, the Gunslinger's in present day.
Yeah.
So it's basically the origins. It's the origins and a ton of stories, about how he became the Gunslinger, who he was, what his life was like, and then the madness of going on and what was going on in the world at that time. And then introducing also the Spawn universe of characters within the story. So there's a lot to play with.
He's like, yeah. When he says play, it's like a little kid. Like, yeah, I got ideas. All right. So let me ask you, Jimmy, what is it about these Western comic books? Do you smash them? Or what is it that draws you to those characters? Like the Jonah or even a gun?
When I was a kid, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, right? And when I was a kid, a Western was like science fiction, right? Because it was like, we lived in a city and a neighborhood. For me, it was like another world, right? Westerns were like another world. And I love the idea of the good versus evil, obviously, because we love comics. We definitely live in that world where we look at the world that way. And, as I was growing up, I was watching Westerns on TV. I loved the Clint Eastwood movies, John Wayne movies. I loved all that stuff. And then in the summers, I would go away to a camp upstate New York, like for kids, like not a sleepaway camp, but like a camp.
Right.
And I'd get to ride horses, and I'd see there was woods and mountains up in New York. It was like Bear Mountain and the mountain ranges up there. And I just got a love for the idea the world not being so built up yet, you know? And again, living in Brooklyn, it was all apartment buildings and there's history and it's been there for, it's a concrete jungle. And I love the idea of an open world. I think because I lived in a small house, I had four brothers, you know, four boys, and I never had alone time, and there was no big open plains, and there was no sense of being alone. And so a lot of it attracted me. And then I loved the idea of a time where people were, you know, they were still exploring uncharted places. And I just fascinating with the time frame. So I've always been interested in that. And then as a kid, I picked up the Jonah Hex comics from DC.
Oh, nice.
And I fell in love with that character. And you know, eventually I got known as a guy that can write Westerns, which was, you know, okay, that's cool. But I did a lot of research. You know, it's also a lot of, I went to ranches. I rode horses. I've done a lot of this stuff. And it's just one of those things. I stumbled into it, but I do love writing Westerns.
Anyway, so you're telling me it's even cowboy, bro, and them horses and all, man, you'd be wrangling?
Yeah, or- I know. I can't wrangle cattle. I've never done that, but I've ridden horses. I've been on ranches and, you know, I shot guns, but I'm not a big gun fan. I'm not like, you know, I don't mind guns in comics, but in the real world, I'm kind of a little.
We can't hear it come back like a Marvel. I hear you. So wait.
Yeah. I mean, I also love, you know, I've worked on them so many times. I also love characters like the Punisher. You know, I've kind of related to the guy that it's kind of like a driven, you know, person thinking they're doing the right thing in a world that may or may not judge them the same way they see themselves is always an interesting part of comics.
And before I move on to the next comic question, now I'm curious, do you want to try and wrangle?
you get older and you realize that it's a little tougher in the world, you know, to wrangle things. You can only fix the world around you pretty much, yeah. You know, and that's how you have to look at things. Like if I can do the right thing myself and then help people around me, you hope it's going to be contagious and you hope other people do the same thing. And, you know, you set an example like any parent, right? You set an example for your kids and you hope your kids bring the values into their world. So
let me ask, how is this going to differentiate with Deadly Tales of the Gunslinger? How does it differentiate from any other Western tales you've, you know, done so far? Where did you dig?
Well, the difference is, you know, so the Spawn universe is established. And the other thing is with Todd's book, you know, especially with Gunslinger, he's established. We're how many books in with Todd's character? So I've been reading them as they come out because the stuff he says, he references the past, and I have to grab all of that when I'm writing this book because, continuity wise, I'm sort of filling in a lot of empty gaps in the past. And so when Todd writes the character now, and he says something like, It's not like this tip of the Grand Canyon where I killed somebody. Well, I have to write that down and go, okay, I have to write a story where he kind of killed a guy at the tip of the Grand Canyon. You know, I have to kind of constantly stay after what Todd is doing. But at the same time, there's a lot about the Gunslinger people reading the comic don't know. Mm-hmm. Because they're dealing with him in the modern day. Todd writes him. He was pulled out of the past.
Yeah, you only got two issues of him, if you will, in the past, you know.
Yeah.
Only introduction. And that's
that. There's not a lot. And there's a little, there's some backstories that were in the first issue. If you remember, there was a backstory. Yeah. So all of that is part of a gigantic map I did building this character up. And how, you know, my stories I'm telling, they're all different stories about him when he first becomes the Gunslinger and how he has to deal with that. Because he has no idea at some point what the hell is going on, like why things are happening to him. And he's trying to figure out. So there's a lot of world building and there's a lot of backstory to the character we'll be telling in the book. And it's only going to help make what Todd's doing even richer, you know, because obviously Todd reads every single thing I do and takes it apart. This is a man who is hands-on with his characters in every way you can think possible.
I've spoken with him, and yeah, I totally see that type of energy. Now, Jim, I got to ask you. So Are there any challenges that emerging, how Todd had that modern day character, gunslinger Spawn, and then with you bringing him back and sending him back into the 1800s?
Yeah, there's a lot, because the character you see is the result of a lot of the stories I have to write. So the way he acts, I have to kind of explain where that's coming from in his past.
You're building the juice here, baby.
I'm coming after the big man. You know, Todd's really got a vision, and I'm really happy because he trusts me to go in there and do some things. When he first hired me, him and Thomas hired me, I wrote a Bible for the character, meaning he is where his parents came from. He is where his family is. He is what happened when he was in his teens. And this document started, it was 60 something pages now. Jeez. You know, I handed it to them, and I said, this is what I see for his childhood. And Todd's like, yeah, okay, just change that and fix that and move that there, and we're good to go. And so for me, I have to know everything about him in order to write him. You know what I mean? So cool. I had to write this giant Bible.
Is Jeremy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I didn't create the characters. So I have to make sure everything is, you know, it's kind of odd. It's sort of like working for any big company. You have to know as much as you can about the character to write him. And in this instance, it's like it's all Todd, you know, it's all what he sees. So, and I do introduce some new things in the books. But like I said, nothing is done without him going, okay, that's that, and that's good. You know, even with artists, we had to find somebody like Patrick Reynolds, who's doing the book. We had to find somebody that was not Todd. You know, we didn't want it to have the same look as his other books, like Todd or, you know, anybody else doing the other books. So with Patrick Reynolds, we got a look that is completely different. You know, it's very grounded. I think you had one of the drawings that he did. It's a little more grounded, I would say.
Yeah, I got two images here that I found. Right, come on. So
say hi to Chuck.
He's a bad boy right here.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
God.
Yeah, I mean Patrick is fantastic, but it's got a little. It's a little less. I want to say less superhero-y, less bouncy. You know, less kind of like all over the place. And more grounded in reality. I mean, it's funny because the hat makes me laugh because it's this giant hat he has. I always pictured that he would take a hat off and his head was shaped like that, but it's not.
Well, you know, I see this hat. I think about Pharrell. Doesn't he have a hat like this?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I found this image as well. Oh my!
Yeah, we did that for San Diego as a giveaway. It was like a bunch of prints. But yeah, so he's handling it. It's a little bit different than the regular titles. And I think it was really smart of Todd and Thomas to kind of let that go in a different direction. Because I think it has a feeling of being in the past, yet it's like happening day one, you know? And when you get the first issue, if you've never read Gunslinger, you're gonna get an origin and what happens. So anybody that's never read the book before, they can pick up Gunslinger 1 and they'll get the information they need to move forward. They're not going to be like completely lost, because
wonderful.
You know, I'm a believer in every new book is going to have some new people reading it, so you have to give them a little backstory.
Just a tad, even. Yeah. And I appreciate that, brother. I love that. So how do you approach this now? You know, because the supernatural elements now you're messing with some magic and all that goodness, the gunslinger Spawn. I mean, and it's a traditional Western. How do you play with these things?
So the supernatural aspects are more creepy in this book.
Okay.
Like they're not in your face. Like all of a sudden somebody you think is one thing is actually another. And he has a supernatural world around him, but it's not brazenly walking around it's kind of hiding and laying low, and it's a lot creepier. So the main character and in the beginning doesn't understand why he's been chosen or why he is, and things around him. It's sort of like if you were colorblind and then you put on glasses and you could see color. So you see the world differently.
Okay.
And when he becomes the gunslinger, it's like a veil has been lifted and he starts to see the world around him just a little bit off. And because of that, he's starting to notice things he was unaware of his whole life. And these things are not good things. And
basically, he wakes up, you know.
Yeah, he kind of like, you know, all of a sudden he'll go like in a whorehouse, let's say, and like he'll see all the prostitutes sitting there, but one of them will be looking at him weird, and he's like, something's up with that person over there. Like, yeah. And he's gained this sixth sense that things are not right in the world he's in.
This is evil.
Oh. And why is it following him? And why is it after him? And a lot of that is to build up the character to the gunslinger we see today in Todd's book. So there's a lot to explore. As I told the guys, I said, you know, I can easily do 100 issues of this. No problem. No problem. Because
you want 300, Jimmy. You want the next year?
We're going to celebrate. When I do 101, I'm going to come back here with you, Al, and we're going to talk about the next 100 issues. I hope.
You mean, bro, the way you smash these westerns, I'm sure, and you know, if Todd, as I understand it, you know, with that free, that you know, with check marks by the creative freedom to have some fun, because you're building stuff there, Jimmy, and with your history and shit, I know we guaranteed. So,
yeah, I think, you know, I think Todd, the character's a great character. And I love the idea of seeing Todd expand the characters in his world. I know there'll be a Spawn movie soon and another Spawn movie soon. And I also know eventually there's going to be a Gunslinger Spawn because that's just a natural spinoff. And
you should be in there. You got the derby already. Why not? You know what I mean?
So. A little derby. Yeah, yeah. I had a hat with Bigfoot on before, but I thought with this interview, I'll put the derby on.
Am I looking good? We're almost looking like Clark Kent, my brother. Where am I?
Oh, wait, let me hit one second. Let me fix that then. I'm going to fix that. If you think I look like Clark Kent, that's no good.
Oh, they're going to take care of this. He goes, hell no, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Yo, wait, where's Jimmy?
There you go. I lose the glasses. I can
Yo, bro. Jimmy Eastwood right here. Better watch out, man.
Hey, these are good. They keep the rain off you, man. This hat. It's like,
yeah, I gotta try one of those hats.
You never tried?
Dawn's. I haven't tried one.
When they fit right, they feel great. Like, you know, when it fits right. But you have to get it fit. You got to get a right kind of fit. You know, it's like a baseball cap. You ever buy some of the caps and like they're like, you put them on, you're like, no.
This is fitted. This is custom. You know what I mean?
Oh, there you go. I'll make it.
This is fitted. It fits my head nice. Anybody else try it, they say that I have a big head.
Yeah, I got to do this. All right.
So, look, this is the perfect look now for the gunslinger. So, is there any specific, you know, research, historical references, or even maybe actors that you kind of inspired by to tell the journey, the early journey of our boy Jeremy, you know?
Yeah, so I've done a deep dive into the history of the from 1800s to the and from 18 like maybe like 1810 to 1905 in that time zone, right? So we have the Civil War in there, obviously, Civil War in the 1860s, but also what was happening in the world, because, you know, trains were making their way west, people. There was issues with Indians. Obviously, there was a lot of history going on in the 1800s. A lot of things changing, you know, slavery being abolished, and a lot of the world was changing when this character was coming up from the when he was young. And actually, I do cover some of the stuff with the parents before they came to America.
Okay.
And it has everything to do with who our character is. And so I did my research about where people were coming from and also where they were landing in the United States. A lot of people were landing up in Nova Scotia and Canada and then working their way back into the United States. There's a lot. I love the idea of the backdrop of history without beating the reader over the head saying this is what happened.
Yeah.
I think naturally, once you know all that information in your writing, you can integrate it into the story where it isn't a thing that gets in the way. It's actually a fascinating aspect of the story. And of course, in the 1800s, medicine went from, if we have an open wound, pour dirt in it, to all of a sudden, no, we need to clean a wound, right? Because Civil War had, when during the Civil War, there was conflicting rules with medicine. And that's why so many people lost limbs, because the medicine back then was messed up. They didn't know what they were doing. And sterilization was just coming into fashion for medicine. So the world was changing in so many different ways. And so that being the backdrop of our main character, you get a sense of, okay, like, you know, everyone there is just trying to figure out the world they're in, because it's the new world, right? United States was a new place for these people. And then there were people that weren't letting go of traditional where they came from, the traditions of where they came from. And the gunslinger has to like navigate his way. And he has a couple of motivations while he's doing it, but he also has family when he was younger. You know, he had a mother and father and a sister, and it has a lot to do with who he is. And again, Todd covers it in some of the books. And he even tells the origin somewhat in one of the books. And I dissect Todd's origin and blow it up a little bigger so we can see it from different points of view. Because, you know, he teases it in his own book, where we're going to explore it in the series. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time.
So did you meet Patrick? I mean, how did you guys even come together? How that work?
Patrick and I, we deal with Zoom, right? We've talked on Zoom. I haven't met him yet, and I probably will at some convention this year, obviously, because we're both getting out there. But I haven't met him, but I did love his work. He was doing some work on some other books that I liked. And when we had to pick an artist for the book, I needed the right person, the person that understood that it shouldn't look modern. It should look a little raw looking, and it should look, and Gunslinger is a tough character, and he should be looking like a badass whenever you can manage it. And Patrick came in with this beautiful black and white work, and we're like, oh my God, man, this guy. Yeah. It's like, you know, he's got the wolves. He's got the two wolves there. And it's this, you know, again, the terrain, it's a different world. It's going to be, like I said, people like the Gunslinger book, I think, are going to love this, because it's definitely seeing him in the world that he came from. And Patrick was the right guy, man. I mean, you know, you look at artists that we could choose from 100 different artists, because there's a lot of people want to do it. But Patrick brought something that we didn't see in the other artists. And he's already working, I think, on a second and third issue, because the first issue is a pretty big issue, actually. There's a lot of material in it.
Oh, man. You better stay tuned. This isn't coming out anytime soon, folks.
It'll be in the summer. And yeah, it'll be in the summer. I mean, you know, our job is to get it done at least 6 or 8 issues in the can before the first issue comes out. Because Todd, you know, with Todd's books, they're not late.
No, they're not.
They are not late.
One of the very few comic book companies out there, guys, period, creators, not a late book. I have a complete run, you know what I mean, of Spawn and the Gunslingers and everything. I got them all. I'm a fan. And why? Right. It's consistent. I go, when I need them, they're there. You know what I mean? Thank you, Todd, you know, for that consistency.
Well, he also manages to keep the price down on the books, too.
Unlike other companies, I mean, have you seen the difference between a direct and a newsstand? It's almost a $2 to $3 difference sometimes.
And also, they don't use like a cover stock, and they, you know, it's like Todd has a very vision of what he wants his books to do and how he wants them to look. And he's very particular. You know, obviously he also does the toys, and they're very particular and detail oriented as well. So he's a guy that, you know, understands he's a fan first. So I always find that people that are fans tend to make things more lovingly than other people do, than business people. And I'm a huge comic book fan, and I fuss over every little detail, the coloring, the printing, the lettering. I want the paper stock right. And, you know, when I put out my Kickstarters, I make sure the paper is perfect. I'm really picky about things. But I think, you know, I think the thing with that is that we just feel like the product, the book itself, deserves to be treated better, with more respect.
Yeah.
And you'll find the big corporations, they don't really care. They're just putting out a bunch of junk, and after a while, nobody cares about it.
But I'm asking about that. And again, listen, you know, they reboot every 5 years. There comes a point that it's just no longer for us. You know what, guys? Let go. It's okay. Don't get angry. Listen, Jimmy, through this one. Listen, go visit this website right here, paperfilms.com. Let me tell you, there's stuff for you there. Like, yo, now that you're a grown up guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not for the kids, although I do have one or two, but most of it's for adults. I'm an adult making comics. I still read comics, so I want them written for me. I don't want them written for a 12-year-old. That's not the book I'm buying, you know?
Thank you, Jimmy. And that's why some of our modern collectors need to understand, you know, some stories are just not going to be for us anymore, and it's okay.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Look, what do I care? I think Disney should come out with a million movies. I don't care. Yeah. It doesn't bother me. I just want my type of material, too.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. We all want just our material, too. You know, everybody, right. just make us happy, too. You know what? I mean, there's good stuff out there coming out. You know,
there's a lot of great stuff.
That Godzilla, that new Godzilla from the Toho, like when the OG, holy shit.
I mean, I it's funny because I was at the comic store earlier today, and one of the young guys working there is like, yeah, I didn't like the new Godzilla. And I'm like, why? And he's like, And he goes, well, you know, it's so much story with this guy and his wife. And I'm like,
what's the fucking that point?
Right. And I'm like, well, I told him, I said, you know, you didn't find it fascinating how Japan had to deal with losing the war and how they were trying to rebuild. You didn't find that fascinating. I found it fascinating. It's a story I never heard. And about the kamikaze flyer and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, there was plenty of Godzilla in it. There was plenty of story of them, and they tied up really great. I thought it was fantastic. And he's like, I thought it was slow. And I'm like, you know what? You can't watch 10-second TikToks for the rest of your life, man. You gotta sit in that chair and let a story unfold. And understand, when you see Godzilla, it's something special. You shouldn't see him every minute of the movie. And he shouldn't be like the new one with Kong. He shouldn't be running like a jogger. You know? It's like this Godzilla was frightening.
It was Godzilla.
When they were in the boat and you just see his head pop up with the spikes, man, it's like Jaws right now. It's like, get out of there.
And we're getting a lot of great Godzilla. We got the Monarch series. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know? So, Matt, you guys, I can't wait. Shit, are we going to get some monsters in on like also get worse on that scale, Jimmy?
Yeah, we have some. In Gunslingers, there are some monsters in that world. There are monsters that exist in that world that are no longer with us, that only exist in the 1800s. So we're going to see them pop up, and we're going to see him deal with them. And there's a reason why they're not around now, because we got a good guy, a good gunslinger back then, taking them off the planet at that point. Yeah, there's a little bit of everything. On the series, we touch in with, obviously, the history, the character, but also, you know, the idea that some of these towns are not there anymore, and there's a reason why they're not there anymore. And there's a lot, and there's some people that are looking for the gunslinger as well, and we get into that. But there's some really bad people in this world, and that's why the gunslinger is needed.
And that's why I wore my sheriff's vest today. You know what I mean? I got my comic crew badge going. You know, and I'm ready to team up. You know, Sheriff Jeff Ragnarok, let me a deputy.
That's right. I think this is a good look. I'm thinking maybe I should wear this at cons. What do you think?
No, I like it, Jim. For real, bro. You got it. You know what?
Okay, what I'll do is I won't shave for like a week or two, so I'll get this really scruffy looking thing.
Yeah, so I just want to keep the Marlboro Man minus the cigarettes.
Yeah, my teeth are a little too white, but you know, we can mess it up. I'll eat some chocolate before I go out. I'm trying to think of what else I would have on me. But it's a fun look, but it's, you know, I'm the last guy should wear a cowboy hat living, although I'm in Florida. It is like the Wild West here, so you know.
Well, now we gotta get to some rope and you can wrangle up an alligator.
I got right down the street. I have alligators. I leave them alone. They got their spot. I got my spot. We don't mix it up.
You just nod your head to keep on moving.
I in the morning I walk by them and I just tip, and then I
keep. You stay home. You stay for me. Thank you. All right. So I know we've been talking a lot of gunslinger, but you know, like you said, you mentioned your Kickstarters and all. What's popping in the Paper Films universe before we go, man? I need to know.
All right. So
wait a minute. Wait. Let me put you on first.
Okay.
What we're gonna do is make make this look even sexier, baby. Hey, look at that. Woo!
So this was my last Kickstarter. It's called The Hunters. And it was another Western I did with Chad Harden was the artist on it, who I worked on with. There's some beautiful stuff in here.
Oh, those colors, that art, those paneling. Yeah,
the colorist is Alex Sinclair, who is Jim Lee's colorist. Oh. And Chad Harden is the penciler. And here's the back cover. How cool is that?
Oh, wow. Who that?
That's a photo. The designer, John J. Hill, supplied that. Plus, we can, I got a nice credits page where we have, you know.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I see JT Reddy here wants to make a comment before I head off.
Hold on. Let's see what we got here. So, go ahead, JT.
JT,
go
ahead. Lay it on us, buddy.
Lay it on us.
But no, that was my last Kickstarter. I have a new one coming in January called Fantasima. It's like a jungle girl type thing that takes place in Chile.
Chile.
And then the end of the year, I'm doing. You ever go to the Humble Bundle?
I know Humble Bundle. They do great stuff, especially during the holidays.
Well, right before the new year, we have something coming from Humble Bundle. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet. I'm just saying it's coming.
What a sexy teaser we have, folks. Time coming. Oh,
yeah,
hands off. I'm not one of those watching turtles. When he said it's coming. And I know he'll let us know real quick. You know, but this is when you can listen with Christmas.
Yeah. So Al, you know, if you go to paperfilms.com, a little pop up happens and you can subscribe to our mailer. And we send out like maybe one or two a month tops, but it gives you a list of what we got coming. It shows some of Amanda's artwork. And then we also like, we'll give like discounts for the website and we'll make you aware of the next Kickstarter and everything. All right. Let's see what JT has to say.
He goes, I do. I'm the idiot that keeps spamming you on Twitter about how much I love XO number zero. My wife painted that cover front back and she was amazed by your inking. I hope one day it'll be able to show you what she painted.
I would love to see that. Look, you can always, you know, I'm on Twitter under my name. You can always post it so I can see it.
Post it, tag Jimmy. Say, Jimmy,
yeah,
look.
Tag me.
Right, and listen, look how easy I make it for you, JT. I'll give you two joints where you could just tag them and say, hey, Jimmy, check it out. You could
tag
them on Jay Palmiotti on Instagram at his full name, at Jimmy.
Yeah. JT, you don't have to worry about copyright. She's just copying a piece that exists. So it's okay, man. It's you don't have to worry about that. She's doing her own version of it. And that's pretty awesome, man. You'd be proud of your lady's work. Put it up there. We'd love to see it, you know?
Man, like, what's in the studio? Shit, I haven't got nothing going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and they got it. They promise only on my wall.
JT, you can put my name on it and just say, hey, Jimmy, and, you know, share it with me, man. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, man. Fans, if you're doing some awesome work, he's been around.
I had
all that stuff we've been done. I mean, shit.
Yeah, you know, in my career, I've worked with a lot of artists that I've met through the internet where they put their art up and they show me their work and I hire them. Some portfolios at cons, sometimes online. But if you're an artist, you should always show off your work because if it really hits somebody the right way, you know, they might hire her one day. And I see she's a fine artist. So, you know, yeah, she probably, you know, JT, you know, comic book art is a lot tougher than people think. Like fine art, people paint, you know, modern art, whatever. But comics, you have to draw everything in the world. You have to draw people interacting, people in offices, two-point perspective of business, of buildings. You have to be able to draw tanks, you know. It's everything. So it is a hard, it's a tough art form, you know.
That's our man, Manus Comic Network. He's working, Jimmy, on a Roku channel for independent creators.
Uh-huh. You know,
but to make it about geek talk, a real channel for real geek, you know, genres, you know, whether it's gaming, comic books, everything, but a dedicated network to us. He's working on this, so hopefully we'll get something going, you know, on that and have a nice channel where I have a studio, Jimmy, and next time you could do this in my studio, we have a Tonight Show style show. Too, so we could give you that old school picture when you were behind the bar, you know what I mean? You wear everything right, just make sure you bring that hat.
Oh yeah, man. I think I'm gonna wear this in San Diego. My wife loves John Hamm. If I can get away with looking like John Hamm a little bit.
Oh, wait, but you having fun tonight, that man, Jimmy. So before we go, what are the next comments we could see? Because I know this year is winding down, but what's popping for next year? Anything?
Yeah, we got a couple lined up. We're gonna be first one is the OAX Con in January. That's in Orlando. It's the week before MegaCon, and it's basically a convention that centers around original comic art.
Oh, cool!
You know, so that's Bill Cox, and it's called the OA Expo.
Never heard of that when I was in Florida. That's fucked up.
Oh yeah, man! It's in Orlando. It's got a hell of a lot of artists, and it's only about comic book artwork. So it's original art.
No, you got my heart.
They got guys, they got like Amanda, they got Adam Muse, they got Kevin Nolan, Dave Johnson, they got all these artists that come into it. And that's my first show. And then after that, we're doing Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle.
All right, ECC, nice, nice.
Yeah, we're doing that. And then I have, let's see. Oh, Kansas City Comic Con we're doing. And let's see.
Get me busy.
Yeah, right. No, we have a lot. I can't announce some of the other ones because they told me I can't announce them until they're ready to announce it.
No,
we're definitely doing Emerald City and we're definitely doing Kansas City and OAX in January. So that's the three big ones.
Jimmy's killing it. He got dope stuff coming out, folks. Again, let me show you the socials one more time before we leave, homie. Right there. Keep up with Jimmy on X. All right. Jay Palmiotti, Instagram. Jimmy Palmiotti. My homie JT, just tag him there. Let him know what your wife did. And of course, paperfilms.com. Now, we could also buy product here, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, we sell the books, we sell digital downloads, and we have original comic art for sale, too.
And there we go. Wonderful Christmas gifts, folks. You know, you stock your stuff. Christmas is right around the corner.
You know, I always say the day after Christmas is when you buy stuff for yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But if you want to do this for your loved one and the rust and your stuff, there you go, ladies or gentlemen or everybody. Right there. Original OG good stuff, all right? Dexter, he said he tweeted. He tweeted.
I'll check it out after this, JT.
All right. And then isn't it posted now, according to Elon? We can't say tweet, it was posted.
Yeah.
Our language must change. Let me stop.
That's true.
All right. True. Jimmy, you're the man. Thank you again for your time. Anthony, thank you guys for tuning in as we learn so much about what's popping.
Yeah, with man.
This next iteration of Gunslinger Spawn. Our man Jeremy right there. We're about to learn a lot more, get into some new characters, expanded universe.
Yeah.
Guitar, too. Again, you know, bringing this homie on board because I know he is about to smash this. Oh my God. JT, yeah, he says, I'm not calling it that.
Yeah, you don't have to call it anything. Call it Twitter for all I care.
Well, there you go. Call it Twitter for all I care.
Yeah, Twitter. Why not? How do you get twank on Twitter?
Oh, man, I used to say, are you twatting?
There you go. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Alan. Let's do this again when the book's about to come out so we can.
Oh, yeah. When I had one and I could smell that ink and you got me.
That's all right.
Up, you know, as we start running.
Then we'll give away some surprises.
Here we go. Yeehaw, MFers. This is Al Mega with the Amazing Jimmy Palmiotti. Hasta la próxima. Bye.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Crusaders podcast. If you like the content, please subscribe and turn on notifications. Also, please visit ComicCrusaders.com and our extended podcast family over at UndercoverCapes.com. And also, make sure to download the Comic Crusaders app on the Google Play Store today.